I'm good, sorry. Good morning, I'm Carol Duty. Welcome to Shelter Rock Church. I'm so glad you're here this morning. I'm really excited I'm here this morning for two reasons. One, I haven't been here for a couple of weeks. Westbury is my home campus. Our family was away over the holidays, and then we went on the awesome youth retreat with Kevin Mahaffey, our youth pastor, and then my daughter Caitlin, who just arrived, so excited to see her, would normally be up here singing with the worship team, but she's helping out at Central Church. It's a Presbyterian church up in Huntington. You may have heard about it. SRC has their own missions field here on Long Island. Central Presbyterian Church doesn't have a pastor at the moment, so Shelter Rock Church, our senior pastors, decided to come up alongside Central Church and is offering pastoral support and administrative support. So Caitlin is part of the worship team there, along with Pursuing JC for the next 6 weeks. So I'll see you today, and then I'll be back in a couple of weeks. The other reason why I was so excited about this topic, be still my anxious heart, because I'm genuinely someone who has dealt with an anxious heart my whole life. I have absolutely lived in fear my whole life. Fear of living, fear of dying, fear of moving, fear of not moving, fearing of what to do, what not to do. And even here this morning, you know, it's terrifying to get up, and you're beautiful looking people, but it's terrifying to get up in front. I want one of you to come up here and see what I see. It's terrifying. And I'm sitting there going, I am a child of God. I mean, I'm screaming it. I'm saying I'm going to lay down my fears. And then I'm like, oh, I got to get up there and speak. And you would think at, you know, 54 years old, I would be past all my fears by now. This, you know, my mother left when I was 5. My father was an alcoholic. You know, I've had all this trauma passed around to relatives. I'm afraid of the other foot dropping. We were on welfare as a kid. I'm afraid of losing my job and not being able to feed my kids. Like, you would think now, right? I get up here and preach this stuff, right? You would think, Carol, you have no fears. Like, what anxious heart do you have? You know God really well. But today we're going to talk about fears happen. Things happen in this world that create fear in us. And what are we going to do about that? And I would say the number one thing is we're going to go to the Word of God. And we're going to see what God has to say about fear. We're going to look at Psalm 56 this morning. We're going to take a look at David, and you may remember David, right? David was the scrappy kid who was out in the field taking care of the sheep, and his father says, you know what, David, do us a favor. Take this lunch and go bring it to your brothers, like the brave ones who are on the battlefield fighting for our country. And David takes the lunch, and he goes out to the battlefield, and what does he find, right? He finds his brothers like a bunch of scaredy cats in the corner, afraid of this giant Philistine by the name of Goliath. And David walks up, and he's like, what is the big deal? I'll take on Goliath. And they're like, what? You'll take on Goliath? And he goes out there. You remember the story either from reading the Bible as an adult or from as a kid. He goes out there with a slingshot and a couple of rocks, and flings that rock, and he hits Goliath right in the center of the forehead, and down Goliath goes, and David walks back victorious. And David gives all the glory to this God that was with him, that allowed him to be victorious over this giant. Well, now we find David sounding a little different in Psalm 56. So let's take a look at it. Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust and I'm not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day long that they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. In your anger, God, bring the nations down. Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then will my enemies will turn back, and I will, when I call for help, by this I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, and I'm not afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Now, it sounds like David winds up in a pretty good place, right? He talks about trusting God, and he talks about, you know, he spared him from his stumbling. But I hear some tones in there, some tones of anxiousness, some tones of what's going to happen, what's going on. And you might be here today feeling the same way. You might feel anxieties about what's going on in the world, what's happening with the flu and Korea and all these things that are coming at you. And you may know God as well as David knew God. You may be here today and not know God at all. And you may be here today and know God a little bit, but not really enough to give you the peace in your heart that God really wants for you. You might basically have fear. And fear, to me, is the root of the anxious heart. What are you fearing today? And do you think that's what God wants for you? I would emphatically tell you, absolutely not. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." God does not want you to face this world afraid. But fear is real. Fear is our physical reaction to what's going on around us. And I'm not talking about healthy fears. Like, I'm afraid to touch a hot stove because I'm afraid of getting burned. That's a healthy fear. I'm talking about the fears that keep you up at night, that put you into a cold sweat, that make your palms sweat, that cripples you from going forward or going back, or, you know, looking for the new job or going for that medical test. That's the kind of fear that I want to talk about today. And what I'd like to do today is try to take the scary out of fear and dissect fear a little bit at a time to give you the tools, an arsenal, so when the things of this world come at you and your reaction is fear, let me tell you, this is something you will do 100 times a day. It's not a one-shot deal. You'll deal with fear and now you're good to go for the rest of your life. This is something that we all deal with. So now we're going to start with the letter F. And in the first service, I said the F word, not the F word. I was referring to face your fears, but I said the F word. Anyway, so in this context, the F stands for face your fear. You know, and I'm not talking about, you know, you get yourself in your closet and you're like, I you know, look at what I have to face. I have this amount for the mortgage, but it's this high. How am I going to pay it? Or, you know, I've just been diagnosed with cancer. I'm as good as dead. You know, I'm not talking about that kind of face it. I'm talking about how David faced it. David said, listen, my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long, they press their attack. My adversaries are pursuing me. David dealt with the facts. You know, being in denial is not going to help you overcome fear. I read a quote by Mark Twain, and somebody please correct me, but he says, you know, being courageous is not the absence of fear, but it's like dealing with fear or something like that. There's no absence of fear. Let's just be honest with that. There's no absence of fear, but denying what's happening is not going to help you either. You face the fear, you give it the facts, and you bring it before God, and you're like, listen, this is what's happening. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, the boss said to me at 4:30 on Friday, I want to see you 9 o'clock Monday morning in my office. Now, I don't know about you, but that would definitely cause me to be fearful and anxious. But you know what? I know what it is. I'm not going to predetermine what's going on, but I'm just going to face that fear. The next thing we're going to do to make fear less scary is you've got to expect these crazy things in our world. You just have to expect them. To think that nothing is ever going to happen that's going to make you anxious is just not true. And we know this from the Bible. We look at John and we look at James. It doesn't say if you will face trouble. It says when you face trouble. You will face trouble. James says, whenever you face trials of many kinds, so you have to expect it. And you may take your head up from the Bible and go, all right, Carol, I get it. The Bible says that I may have trouble. But all you have to do is turn on your TV. How would you feel about seeing this on the nightly news? Or right now, this is what came over all your iPhones and Androids. This actually happened. You may have heard of it in Hawaii. This is what people got. They thought that Korea was sending a nuclear missile to Hawaii. I don't know about, does just reading that make your heart pump a little faster? I heard stories about women putting their babies in sewer wells, trying to save their kids from a nuclear attack. I'm not sure that's going to work, but that's what people were doing. They were anxious. They were fearful. How about, like, we got a flu epidemic going on. It's all over the news. You know, don't hug people. Don't shake hands. Don't... Thank you. My husband coughed right on cue. Thank you, honey. You're so supportive of me. Thank you, love. Don't shake his hand today. Or the big one for me is finances. And my husband wasn't here the first service when I said it, but he can testify here. He's the second service. Probably one of the biggest fights of our marriage, and I know nobody here fights in their marriage, but we do. The biggest fight of our marriage was over finances. We were taking a course by Dave Ramsey on financial freedom. We were sitting in our kitchen with our calculator and doing all our work, and we were having at it. My kids were like, what is going on with Mom and Dad? And you know what that fight was all about? Not from his perspective. I caused the fight. I'll admit it. I caused the fight. He was right. I was wrong. See, it's now on tape, honey. The whole world has heard me. It was about fear. It was about me being so frightful. How are we going to pay the bills? You know, growing up on welfare, it's a big concern of mine. My pantry shelves are stocked with food because I'm afraid I won't have a meal to eat. You know, I'm afraid I can't take care of my kids. What do I do with that? What do I do with that? I don't just, like, keep that. We go to the A of fear. We apply the Word of God. That's your toolkit. That's your arsenal. And David knew it. David said, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, and I'm not afraid. You've got to open up that Bible, however you do it, on your phone, on an audio, the actual paper. I know that's old school, but I love the paper. However you do it. You know, today, they're handing out these cards in the back, very practical. Stick one in your wallet, stick one in your bag. You've got to learn the Word of God and what it says about you and your situations so you can come up against that fear. In the book of John and James that I referenced before, I gave you a little bit about your troubles and a little bit about what you were going to come up against. But as the guy used to say on that morning show, and here's the rest of the story, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace in this world. In this world you will have trouble. I took the liberty of capitalizing B-U-T. It's not in the text. I know Corey was about to let me know that's not capitalized in the text. But I took the liberty of doing that because that's the but you've got to hear. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So when I'm dealing with something in fear, may it be my finances, my health. Last year, you may have heard me tell early in January last year, I had to go for a PET scan. They thought I possibly had lung cancer. And I smoked. It wasn't like it was going to be a surprise, right? I was big on the E word, expect. And I was scared to death to go for that test. And I happened to meet up with a girlfriend over coffee, and she's like, you go for that test. And I was like, really? She's like, you get up there, you speak about it, how are you walking it? She's like, you can say all the words, but what are you doing about it? I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that. Face it. Go to the Word about it. What does God say about it? And then I thought, really? Could there be purpose in going for a PET scan? Really? And I go for the PET scan, and I was calm as a cucumber by the grace of God. The purpose was, one, that until that moment that she said that to me, I was dealing with it alone. Michael and I didn't tell anybody. I didn't go to anybody. On the next slide, Hebrews 10:24 says, I need a community. And that's what the Word told me. So I text some of my girls, and said, could you pray for me? I'm scared to death. And they prayed for me, and I walked into that PET scan calm as a cucumber. Let me tell you something, that is supernatural from God. For a woman who's been afraid her whole life, and I'm laying on something with some nuclear stuff, you know, thinking I'm facing lung cancer, and I'm calm and I have peace, the world didn't give that to me. God gave that to me. Amen. Amen. And then I'm sitting there waiting with, you know, the IV, a drink, I forget what I had. God's merciful. You forget these things. It's like labor, you know, that's why you have more children. You forget. And I'm sitting there and I hear a woman, 38 years old, stage 4 lung cancer, talking about her 8-year-old daughter. And so God just put it on my heart. Who's praying for her? What is she going through? And so, you know, I don't want to be embarrassed and be a Jesus freak, right? And walk up to her and be like, can I pray for you? You know, and be quiet about it. I actually get into the scanning room. I'm about to hop on the thing. And I go, can you excuse me for a second? And I walk back out and I go to the woman in the booth. And I said, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. God sees you and he loves you and you're not alone. And then I hopped on the scan. Of course, the nurse was like, ooh, Jesus freak. I was like, it's okay. I don't care what you think. So there was purpose, right? And by the grace of God, clear CAT scan, not nothing, just, you know, God testing me. And nothing. Purpose, right? Purpose. If you're facing a situation where maybe you need counsel, you're like, you know what? I don't know if I should buy that house. I don't know how to deal with my pornography addiction. I don't know how to deal with, you know, my marriage. I'm newly married or I'm stressed out by my kids. Go seek counsel. What does the Word of God say? Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Pick up that book. Go read it. And it may not be familiar to you, the book. Read Psalm 56 for the next couple of days. Get familiar with the book. I'll be honest with you, as I'm researching and I'm doing to get ready for today, I love Google. Scriptures on fear. Like 8,000 of them come up. It's easy. And then I take it and I go, okay, Proverbs 19:20. And then I open the book. I don't just take what Wikipedia and Google says. I open the book and I read, okay, what is it in context? How is God saying it? What version are they using? Am I using a different version? Get familiar with the word. It's your arsenal. And then, do you feel alone in your fearsome in your fearful situation? You've got to have Joshua 1:9 committed to your heart. Now, I know every one of you can probably sing at least one song by heart, even if it's Happy Birthday. But I bet, like me, I can sing Hotel California, which has 97 stanzas, by heart. We need to have the word committed to your heart. You need to have that word ready. So when the devil is whispering in your ear, aren't you afraid? You're alone, right? You're in that room alone. You're by yourself. No one understands. You're the only one who does that. And you're the only one who has to deal with that. Well, let's see what Joshua 1:9 says. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The last thing is the R. And the R would say, remember who God is. Because I truly think sometimes when we're so caught up with our fears, with the anxieties and the stresses, we focus on us and we focus on the situation so much that we forget who God is. But David didn't forget who God is. David knew exactly who God is. The next slide. He knew that God was a provider and a redeemer and an advocate and a protector and a prophet and a savior and a shield. Next slide. He knew God was the Messiah, the Holy One. He knew exactly who God was. The next slide. He knew God was our refuge, a living God, a God of peace, a God of comfort, the Alpha and the Omega, God our provider. In David's own words, he says, in God I trust and I am not afraid. What can man do to me? This morning I'd like to read to you Exodus 15. This is right after, you may know the story about Moses and the Israelites, and they have now left Egypt, and they're escaping, running away, and they're up against the Red Sea. And the Lord opens the Red Sea, and they go through on dry land. The Red Sea closes, and the Egyptians are destroyed. And this is the song of praise that Moses is singing after this. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy in the greatness of your majesty. You threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble by the blast of your nostrils. The waters piled up. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue. I will overtake them. I will divide their spoils. I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword, and my hand will destroy them. But, you blew your breath, O God, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed in your strength. You will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall upon them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as stone. Until your people pass by, O Lord, until the people you bought will pass by, you will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance. The place, O Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. Amen. Bam, as Emeril Lagasse would say. That is the God that you are a child of. That's the God you need to remember, who's by your side, in your heart, got your back, got your front, got your top, got your bottom, when you're facing the anxieties and fears that you're going to face. This is the God. You know, this morning I was getting ready, and I'm like, why do I do this speaking thing? I got a full-time job. I got a family. I got my mom. I got a lot on my plate. Why do I do this? I'm twisted. I'm anxious. I'm studying on the Long Island Railroad. God bless the Long Island Railroad. I'm, you know, studying, getting my stuff together, and I'm anxious. And this morning I sat at the table and I said, you know, Carol, why don't we apply this F-E-A-R thing that you came up with? And I said, all right, I'm facing it. This is what I've got to do this morning. I expect it because I obviously volunteered for the job. And now I need to apply the word. And I turned to Matthew 28. And Matthew 28, at the end of Matthew 28, tells me I am an ambassador of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am commissioned to go out and speak the gospel. And I said, that will do. And I'm not saying I walked up here like I got it all together, super, super confident, because you know what? I depend on God, and I should never depend on myself when I walk on any platform to speak to anybody. But I also know God has shown up every single time. He has a great track record. But Matthew 28, it wasn't the first time I read it this morning. I've read it 100 times. There's a great movie that came out, dare I say, in 1984, The Karate Kid. And The Karate Kid was an iconic movie for us. My husband and I said, I can't believe that was like 34 years ago. It's a little frightening. But does everybody remember the movie? There was Daniel-san, and what was the other guy's name? Mr. Okay, good, you paid attention. So Mr. Miyagi would have Daniel's son, you know, Daniel's son came to Mr. Miyagi. For those of you that either weren't born or have lived in a bubble, Daniel's son came to Mr. Miyagi because he wanted to be a karate dude. He'd gotten beaten up in school, and he came to Mr. Miyagi, and he said, you know, can you train me, because I'm going to go and fight these guys. And what does Mr. Miyagi do? He puts Daniel outside in his backyard, in his driveway, and he says, what? Wax on, wax off, right? Wax on. And then he goes out and gets drunk that night, right? Was that the one, or whatever Mr. Miyagi did? Then the next day, Daniel's son comes, and he's sore, and he's like, oh. And what does he have him do? Sanding the deck. Remember, he's got the big things, he's sanding the deck. And then the next thing he has him do, he comes over and he's like, stain the fence, right? And in the first scene, you see like this much fence, and then he looks around and it's like hundreds and hundreds of feet of this fence. And Daniel is not happy about it. I mean, it's a great movie, I would totally recommend it. You know, he does this like thing at the end, it's really awesome. But the whole point of the story is Daniel was thinking, this means nothing to me. Like, why am I doing this? As Pastor Greg would say, he didn't trust the process. But now he gets into the ring, great ending. It's like a Rocky movie, great ending. And what does he do? Wax on, wax off, right? And he paints, and he's got it ready. So this morning, guess what? I was like, Matthew 28, Joshua 1:9. Let's have at it, right? Come on. This is what we need to do. We need to have that committed to our hearts so we know when these things come at us, and they're going to come, that you have your arsenal ready. And I love it this morning, and we have to remember who we are, not only who he is, but who we are. We had a great thing. I have a little prop here, my hoops. Back in Brooklyn, when we would go to the schoolyard to like kind of rumble a little bit, you know, get into a fight, you know, not very civilized, we would have our big hoops on, and a saying we would have is, hold my hoops, which meant like we were going to go fight somebody, right? Now, the problem was, if you said to somebody, hold my hoops, and you had nothing to back it up, you were in worse trouble than you were before. Because not only was that person going to beat your butt, everyone in the school knew that they could beat your butt, right? What I hope that you get this morning, that the God of Exodus 15 has got your back. And when that fear, those situation comes along and you say, devil, hold my hoops, because I'm going to attack this incident, facing it, expecting it, applying the word of God, and not only remembering who God is, the warrior that we read about in Exodus 15, go home and read that one, in Exodus 15, but who I am. I don't know about you, did you hear those words this morning? Polo's going to sing it for us again. I am a child of God. Not if, not maybe, I am a child of God. And then someone came up to me this morning, and now fear has an extra R. They said, repeat. It's not a one-time deal. It's not like today you're thinking, oh, I got to go meet the boss 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Let me face that fear. Okay, I'm done. Because guess what? By 11:30, something else is happening. You remember that, oh, I got to pay a bill and I don't have the money. And then by Tuesday, something else comes up. Someone in your world is sick. And then by Friday, you find out, you know, your son or daughter maybe are not, you know, living in Christ the way you would hope them to be, and you're anxious. So there is a repeat on the end. But the best part about it is God is with you time and time again. You are a child of God. Let's just sing that before we pray.
You unravel me.
Amen.
With a melody, you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears are gone, I'm no longer a slave to fear, yeah. For I am a child of God, yeah. I'm no longer a slave to fear,
Amen. If you're here this morning and you just have no idea what those words mean, today is your day. Today, our prayer team is going to be up in front. I just pray that you come forward and just say, you know what, pray for me to understand who this God is. If you've known God your whole life and maybe not thoroughly convinced that you have the greatest warrior in the world on your side, no matter what you face, come up for prayer this morning. You're not meant to face it alone. We want to encourage you. We want to love on you. And if you've been in the Word your whole life and you are confident in the Lord, come up and pray for me. I could use it. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning, oh Father God. We thank you that we are children of God, oh Father God. I pray this morning, oh Father God, that we are a little bit braver than when we walked in this building today, dear God. I pray that we take this information, the Word of God, oh Father God, knowledge that you are so mighty and great, dear God, that you have purpose for us, that you are always with us, oh Father God, that we are never alone. That just sears our heart, oh Father God. I thank you, Jesus. I pray for your people, dear God. You see each and every one of them. You see each and every situation, oh Father God, that is being faced here today, dear God. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you that we can stand on your word that we are children of God. Amen. Amen. Amen.